You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome back to Victory is Assured. We've been talking about how to hear from God, and last time, man, I was just going after it about how that the Word of God is the safety net. Now, after this, we're going to begin to get into the inward witness, which is the more sure way to hear from God about something specific. But in everything, any other way to hear from God, whether it's audible, angels, visions, dreams, however it is, man, however it is, the inward voice, everything must line up to the written Word of God. Because God has exalted His Word even above His own name. It's the thing that Jesus used to deal with the devil. It was the thing that He used to testify of Himself, that He said, "Search the Scriptures, for they testify of Me." Peter said that the written Word was more sure than his own experience when he saw a cloud of glory, when he heard the voice from heaven, that the written Word of God was more sure even than that. But I wanted to, before we moved on, I wanted to show you how Jesus gave an answer from the Word of God and yet did not coat the person's feelings. Because so often we're wanting an answer that makes us, you know, that our feelings are receptive to, and God is giving us His Word, and that should settle the issue. Because anything you see and hear that tries to portray itself as God, if it does not line up with the Word, it's not God. Because anything that's of God, you know, the Word, the Spirit, and the Father are all one. Okay? So, anyway, I want to show you this, though, because this is interesting. Now, we're about to see Jesus interacting with John's disciples. John is in prison. He's in prison because he took a stand for righteousness. And he's going to be executed in the prison. We know that because we read a little further in the story, right? And so what happens now, kind of give you, remember the backstory, they're cousins, right? Jesus and John. So they would have been close coming up. And then God has told John that when you see the Spirit descending on like a dove, you'll know that that's the one, that's the Christ, the one you're talking about. His cousin shows up and he sees that this is the Lamb of God. Right? He sees this and he has this experience, right? And he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon Jesus. And a lot of times, this is interesting too, because a lot of times people think, well, if I saw something like that, then I would know. If I saw something like that, then that would convince me that God was real. Well, John did see it and he still ends up questioning. In fact, to be honest with you, I've seen people seen just out and out miracles. And if they didn't want to believe, they didn't. You know, they just didn't. It's just kind of a sad thing. They tried to excuse it away. I remember one time there was a girl that her husband had run off and left her with two children, had hidden the car and hidden all their money. He'd gone into the military and stuff. And it'd been, I don't know, it might have been a year maybe or longer. And she hadn't heard from him, had been doing without a car. And she had been a Christian when she was a young lady. She was still a Christian, but she was starting to doubt whether God even existed or not. And I said, "Well, I can prove to you God exists." And she said, "No, you can't. It's only by faith." I said, "No, I can give you empirical evidence that God is real." And she said, "Well, how would you do that?" I said, "Well, if He's real, then I can ask Him to do something right now, and He'll do it. And then that'll tell us whether He's real or not." Now, she'd been dealing with this problem, and I said, "Well, what's the biggest problem you have in your life? I don't have to prove it. Let's pick something from your life." And she told me, she said, "Well, I don't have a car, and I don't have any money, and my husband, I think they were still married at the time, so it wasn't her ex-husband, he won't talk to me, and he's basically just left me, and I've been on my own, I think it was at least a year, it was a long time." And I said, "Well, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and pray." I said, "Now, I don't want you to pray because you don't have any faith in operation." I said, "But I'm going to pray in your hearing, and then you're going to hear what I say. And then you'll, when God answers this, that you'll know that He's real, that He's alive by empirical evidence." So I said, I think it was like I'm trying to remember how long I gave the Lord. But anyway, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I can't quote it verbatim, but this was the gist of it, that Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that you are alive, and I know that you love this young lady, and I know that you love her kids. She's been struggling with this issue, so Father, I'm asking you right now, in the name of Jesus, get a hold of her husband, make him reveal where the car is, and begin to support his family like he ought to, because she needs help and she needs it today. And Lord, this will be a sign and a witness to her that you, not only are you real, but that you love her. And Lord, furthermore, I'm asking you to do this in the next 24 hours, I think is what it was. Okay? I set a time limit on it. So anyway, this is what happens. And it's pretty late in the evening. It's like, I don't know, 11:30. We're sitting outside her house talking. And I didn't call her the next day, but then the day after that. So it would have been probably a good 36 hours, right? And I said, hey, where is your car? Did you hear about your car? Did you hear about your finances? And she said, yes. I said, you did? She said, yeah. I said, yeah. When did he call me? She said, well, you know, we were out there at about 11:30. And she said, he called at 2 a.m. So the Lord didn't even need 24 hours, right? He's got about 4 hours. And he's got this puppy licked. It's done, right? But it's funny, she didn't call me to tell me that first thing in the morning. In fact, when I'm asking her, I had to call her. And she said, yes, he's told me where the car is, and he gave me some money, and I think she'd already gone to where the car was. It was in a storage unit or something like that. And she said, well, then now you know that God is real and he loves you. She goes, that's just a coincidence. Really? Really, that's a coincidence. It's been nearly a year or longer than a year. And nothing. He refused to help you. We pray one prayer, asking him to answer in 24 hours. And within just a few hours, he calls you. You know where the car is and where the money is. And you're trying to say that's a coincidence. Yeah, it's just a coincidence. See, people think when this stuff happens that you're just automatically going to believe. That's not true. That's not true. You know, it's funny because when Jesus was telling the parable about the rich man and Lazarus, Abraham made a statement. You know, he says, well, send Lazarus back from the dead and speak to my brothers. He goes, no. And he says, yeah, if they see one risen from the dead, they'll believe. And he says, no, they've got Moses. In other words, they've got the written word of God. If they don't believe that, they won't believe even if one be risen from the dead. Because if you don't want to believe the word, it doesn't matter what you see, feel, and touch. You're not going to believe. Now, I say that because that's basically where John is. He's seen something, but now he's in prison. He's starting to question. Verse 18, it says, then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or should we look for another? Well, I thought that was settled the day that the Spirit descended upon a dove. No, because just because you see some miraculous manifestation, if you don't believe the word of God, that doesn't mean you're going to believe. But notice what he says. He said, when the men had come to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And at that very hour, he cured many infirmities, afflictions, evil spirits, and many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to him, go tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospels preached to them. And blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Now, I know that sounds like he's saying, look at these manifestations, but that's actually not what he's looking at saying. Because if you go back to Luke chapter 4, I think it was, when we see what Jesus preached, remember what he would preach? He said, the Spirit of the Lord, he would open the book to the book of the prophet Isaiah. He'd find the place where it was written, and he'd say, the Spirit of the Lord, for he has appointed me. And he'd say that all this was done. In other words, he was saying to them, go tell John that the written word is confirmed. Remember what Isaiah said, and what Isaiah said is done. He's pointing him back to the word of God. The most sure thing that would hold his mind steady, the most sure thing that would encourage him, the most sure thing that would speak to who Jesus was. But notice what happens next. He says, when the messengers of John had departed, now they're gone. The people that are going back to John are gone. He began to speak to the multitudes and said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are in gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are live in king's courts. And what did you, anyway, a prophet? And he said, and I say to you, more than a prophet. And then he says this in verse 28, for I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, and he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He just said, John is not just a prophet. No, boys, he's the greatest prophet that ever lived. Well, here's the question. Don't you think John would have wanted to hear that? That attaboy, that pat on the back? Way to go. John is the greatest prophet that has ever lived under the New Testament. Don't you think that would have been encouraging to John, him sitting in prison? Hey, guess what? And Jesus is really famous at this time. Guess what? The most famous man of our day says you're the greatest prophet that ever lived. And you know what? John, that would have made him feel great. Oh, see, that's awesome that somebody's speaking well of me. But it would have only lasted for a day. It would have only lasted for a moment. It would have only lasted as long as those feelings did. Jesus didn't say something to coat his feelings. What did he do? He pointed back. What did Isaiah say, John? That's what's happening, John. The written word of God is happening, John. John, the word is being fulfilled. I'm telling you, look to the word, and the word testifies that I am he. He didn't coat his feelings with the attaboy. He didn't coat his feelings, say, hey, go tell him he's the greatest prophet. He waited till all that was gone, and he pointed to what? He pointed to the written word of God to testify of who he was. The written word of God is the most sure thing you know, and you need to know what it says so that you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that what you hear is God or not. Now, we have something extremely important that the word speaks to that you need. Pay attention to this important announcement.
Kurt Owen wants you to know that God really loves you. He sent his son Jesus as a substitute for you. He took on your sins so you would not have to pay the penalty for sin. He also took on your sickness, disease, and injury so that you would not have to suffer from them. In order for you to receive the benefits of this redemptive power, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior and make him your Lord. This is an easy and simple thing to do and will have wonderful eternal effects. All you need to do is believe that he is alive and that he loves you. If you want the power of the living God to change your life from the inside out, simply repeat this simple prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Please save me. I believe that you are alive and that you love me and that you gave your life for me. I believe that because I am asking, you are becoming alive in me right now. You are making me a new creation. I give you my old life while I accept your life. I also make you my Lord. I commit to do what you say with the understanding that you will never burden me with things that I cannot do, but rather you lovingly teach me step by step. Holy Spirit, please also come into my life and empower me with the very power of God, the way that Jesus said you would. Father, thank you for giving your son and making this provision for me so that now I can actually call you Father. If you have just prayed this prayer, we would like to put a couple of things in your hand so that you will get some help on the path of your new life. Simply email the words, I have been saved, to connect@kurtowen.com. Everybody in this ministry will continue to pray for you. We all love you, and we all want you to have a wonderful, wonderful life in God. Welcome to the family of God.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider.
They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpost,